think we should begin. So here we are. We're back again. Thank you for joining us. So good evening. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time on a summer evening to take part in Amnesty's monthly membership call for August. So hello again to Amnesty members, member leaders. I see a lot of you here. I extend a special welcome this evening to any new guests or especially to young leaders who may be calling in for the first time. We are really happy to have you. As always, it's our intent with these calls to provide you a forum for open communication between members, student and member leaders, and groups, and making a space for member-to-member communication, sharing. It's a forum to let everyone know of actions, Amnesty priorities, new developments. So we're glad that you are a part of it tonight. Heads up for everyone. We will be using this new platform for the call this evening, as you might have noticed. It is a webinar platform, but we still want to preserve the conference feel. So we will unmute all of those who have joined. And we certainly want you to share your questions and comments. But as a courtesy, though, we ask that you mute yourself if you're not speaking. So more of this later. Just generally, as the summer winds down, schools reopen, we at Amnesty enter a really heavily active time for our members and staff. Along with school and falling leaves, the fall season signals a return to our regional conferences. These conferences have been a part of our structure for decades, many, many years, as you know, and provide an opportunity for members and leaders and students and local groups to come together and engage with each other and also with Amnesty staff. So in this call, we're going to outline some of the planned changes we have to unveil a new look and feel for the conferences. We'll also look into the governance component that has always been a part of these member meetings. So as many of you know, my name is Edwin Gore. I am membership coordinator at Amnesty International in the Member Leadership and Training Unit. I began many years ago as a volunteer in Group 9 in Manhattan, which is actually still quite active, before joining staff decades ago. So let me take this moment to introduce you to our speakers for this evening. Each one will cover an essential component of what is included in these conferences. And I have to say, I'm really happy to have them here tonight. They are Suhail Santana, who's the events manager at AIUSA, Becky Farrar, who's an AIUSA board member, Cynthia Gabriel Walsh, who's the senior director of the organizing unit at AIUSA. Now, as always, as I begin this, I have two requests, the ground rules. The first one I mentioned before is when you're not speaking, if you could just mute your phone or whatever you're on. And especially when you do share, please state your name, where you're calling from, and whatever role you may play in Amnesty, okay? So thank you very much for that. And we will allow time for your questions, comments. And again, please feel free to share. Suhail, could you please introduce yourself, provide some background, we can begin.
Absolutely, thank you, Ed. As Ed mentioned, my name is Suhail Santana. I'm currently Amnesty's events manager, and I'm based out of the New York office. I've been working with Amnesty for about 5 years now, started in 2011 as an intern, and I think I know quite a few of the folks that are on this call, and for anyone who I've not known, I'm really excited to meet you at one of our upcoming events. I also wanted to note that currently on the call, we have one of my new team members. Her name is Lauren McGowan. She's our events associate, and so she'll be jumping in to talk about regional conferences as well. And so I'm gonna do a quick overview of regional conferences and maybe some information that folks already know, purpose and goals, and go over what regional conferences are gonna look like this year, both with the transition of the length of time of the conferences, but also with where they're gonna be located, cities and dates and all of that good stuff. So I'm gonna go ahead and start. As we all know, regional conferences have long been a part and integral to AIUSA's organizing and member engagement strategy. And they're embedded in our organizational governance structures and through our bylaws. And they're used to develop members, train activists, elevate our human rights work and AIUSA's priorities, and also to conduct organizational governance and serve as a resource hub for networking and opportunity for our members. In the last few years, staff has worked to streamline planning processes for our conferences to maximize the resources and create a model that reflects both collaboration across departments and shared leadership with members, and that creates a unified shared experience with AIUSA members, regardless of which regional conference they may be attending. And to that end, one of the transitions that I think folks have been hearing about for this year is that our regional conferences will be, they'll be one-day conferences. And this kind of goes back to that piece of transitioning, or rather streamlining all conferences across the country. In the past, we've had some conferences that are 3 days, whether it's, you know, they'll go straight from Friday, Saturday through Sunday. Sometimes they're just 2 days, just a Saturday and Sunday. And in some regions, traditionally in the Northeast particularly, it's been a one-day conference held on a Saturday. And the last year, we tried that in the Mid-Atlantic as well. So this year, we're moving forward with having all of our conferences be 1 day. And although that transition is happening, I do want to be clear, and Cynthia will talk about this a little bit later, that the programmatic aspects of the conference have not changed. The goals of the conference have not changed. They're a little bit more condensed, so we're a little busier 1 day, but all of those opportunities that we describe, whether it's programming, whether it's learning about human rights activism or trainings, all of those are still major components of our regional conferences. So I just wanted to be very clear about what that means. Length of time does not mean switch of goals or switch of priorities for the events. And just kind of going over along those lines too, because we've been able to switch all of our conferences to 1 day conferences, we've been able to switch out of the hotel models, which in many regions was really quite expensive. And so 4 out of our 5 conferences will be taking place on college campuses. The only conference that will be taking place in a hotel is the Southern Regional Conference. It'll be taking place in Atlanta, and that'll be taking place in a hotel because we've had a long-standing relationship with that venue. And so it wasn't as expensive as some of the other hotels that we've worked with in the past. So again, just along the lines of streamlining and along the lines of really using our resources in the most effective way possible. And I'll just kind of go through and talk about where our regional conferences are going to be held, where they're going to be held this year. And of course, you don't have to commit any of this to memory. I want to be clear with folks that our website is up and running, so you can find all of the details on each regional conference on AIUSA.org/regionals. And of course, I'm happy to follow up with folks on that after this call. But I'm just going to go ahead and run through when our conferences are taking place, starting from the first one, which will be the Northeast Regional Conference, and that'll be October 21st. This year, it'll be taking place at Albany Law School over in New York. Then that conference will be followed by the Midwestern Regional Conference, which will be taking place on October 28th in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And on the same date, we'll also be holding our Southern Regional Conference. As I had previously mentioned, it'll be taking place in Atlanta at the Courtyard Atlanta, Jakarta Downtown Emory. And our last two conferences are taking place on November 4th, and those are the Mid-Atlantic and Western Regional Conferences that are taking place at the University of Science and Technology Center in Philadelphia, which is the same place where we had that conference last year. They were a wonderful venue and really loved having us around. And then at the Western Regional Conference will be at Arizona State University, also on November 4th. And we're working with a student group to help organize some of that. So that was also a really great and exciting opportunity for us. And so that's just kind of a little bit about the one-day transition, where the conferences are going to be held, and the cities. And there are components of the regional conferences, again, that will remain the same. We'll still have Action Alley. Everyone loves Action Alley, and it's really an exciting place for us and our groups to showcase the work that they've been doing. We'll always have our volunteer opportunities, and we currently do have planning committees in place to make sure that although our regional conferences will be streamlined, the programmatic aspects for each regional conference will still be catering to the regional needs, and our planning committee members will be taking care of that. So with that, I'm gonna pass it over to our events associate, Lauren, who's just gonna touch really quickly on registration rates and on subsidy. So over to you, Lauren.
Great, thanks so much, Suhail. So as Suhail mentioned in the beginning, I'm the new events associate at Amnesty. And while I'm new to the staff side, I was the lead intern for the events team for 10 months. So I know a little bit about Amnesty, but I'm definitely looking forward to getting to know you all more and getting more involved with our membership. So as Suhail mentioned, I'll just briefly touch on registration rates and subsidies. And again, all this information can be found on our website and on Eventbrite when you go to register for the conference. So I'm going to be throwing a lot of numbers out at you, but don't worry, they can all be found on Eventbrite when you go to register. So in terms of our registration rates, it's the same as we've done in previous conferences. We have different rates for members and non-members, as well as for students, educators, senior citizens, and fixed income rates as well. So these rates are ranging anywhere from our general non-member rate of $50 to our student, educator, senior citizens fixed income rate of $30. And we also have group rates at $15 for groups of five. So again, I know that was a lot of numbers, but they're all listed on the Eventbrite website. And if there's any specific questions about rates, I'd be happy to answer them at the end of this call as well. And one flag that all of the rates are the same across all the different conferences. And then on subsidies, so just to remind folks, subsidies are intended for active AI members and activists who otherwise would be unable to attend the conference due to financial constraints. So for this year's regional conferences, we'll be offering each person or group chosen for a subsidy either one night of lodging accommodation or up to $75 for travel reimbursement. So this application will go live the first week of September, and the requirements in order to receive a subsidy are that you must be an active AI member. This is defined as a card-carrying, dues-paying member with a verifiable membership ID number. In addition, only one person per officially recognized student group or local group can apply for a subsidy on behalf of the group, and that's up to four people. And then in addition to that, if you are awarded a transportation subsidy, we're asking folks to please submit all those receipts within 1 week after the conference so we can process your subsidies. So that's all of that. And again, I know that was a lot. So if there are any questions, please flag them for me and we can talk about them at the end.
Hi, this is Ed. I'm gonna jump in because Beth Ann has had some vocal issues, so she has sent questions to me. So I'm going to direct this to Suhail. Beth Ann was asking, why couldn't we switch out of hotels with a multi-day conference? Couldn't a Friday night to Sunday night conference be held on campus? The reason people will end up needing an overnight anyway. So I was wondering if you could address that.
Sure. So, you know, logistically and from an events and having a one-day conference at a school or a university is much more beneficial economically. But when we look at extending that across a few days, it actually starts to become more expensive. And we have to outsource catering, which, you know, sometimes can be cheaper, often much more expensive. And so the three-day model, while it was sometimes like it was okay for hotels and it was still much more costly, it would have still been costly if we did it with universities. And Boston University is an example of that, where even as a one-day model, it was still a little costly. And because we had a relationship, we were able to kind of build on that. And I'm sure Cynthia could speak to that a little bit. But that's one of the reasons. Hope that helps.
Yeah, I guess Lauren, you could answer this. She had a second question. We're told that there are not subsidies for people giving workshops. Will the registration fee be waived for them?
I can answer that question. The answer to that is yes. And you know, just on that is, that typically if you are a workshop session organizer or a speaker, your registration is waived. And that's been true for regional conferences, and it's true for AGM as well, because you're providing content for the event and for the success of the event.
Question? Might I ask a question, please?
Yes, go ahead, please.
My name's Eleanor Foreman. I'm from Manhattan. And I was wondering, we have this wonderful system where we can meet by computer and it doesn't cost anyone anything and nobody needs to travel. Wouldn't it be possible to use that for these meetings so that anyone can attend and nobody needs to travel or pay all these expenses?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's a wonderful question, and I'm happy for others to weigh in on this. It's something that we're looking at and that we might do in the future, as our events are structured right now. They are in-person events, but it's conversations that we've been having and things that we've been considering. And again, something that may or may not happen for the future, but certainly a point well taken.
Any other questions? No, okay, Lauren, do you want to continue? Did you have more to say?
I think that was it for me, so I'll pass it off to the next speaker.
Okay. Suhail, you don't have anything else to add, do you?
Nope, nothing else from me.
Okay. So then we can move on. Becky, do you want to take us through governance?
Sure. So good evening, everybody. And I was really pleased to be asked to join this call and just to talk a little bit about governance. For me with governance, you know, I being both a lawyer and a writer, I looked up the word when I first got on the board about 4 years ago, and it said the act of governing, which really isn't all that helpful. However, in the context of Amnesty, governance has, because we're a membership-based organization, governance has a lot of different aspects to it. As a board member and the board of directors is, of course, responsible for doing a lot of things that constitute governing, taking care of the organization, guarding the organization to some extent from a financial perspective, from a risk assessment perspective, and also making sure that we're staying true to our mission. But because we're a membership-based organization, that governing function gets shared with the members in some very powerful ways. And one of the things that kind of distinguishes Amnesty, I think, from other organizations is that our members bring and can bring resolutions, which we all consider and vote on. And these can be resolutions about how Amnesty functions, some of the decisions we make, but also something that is very near and dear to all of our hearts on basically on human rights approaches and policies. So I just want to give an example that I think is kind of a very current one and a very exciting one, and how it moved through the process. So last year at the regionals, there was a resolution brought by Edie Garwood, who is a country specialist, and it was recommending that Amnesty have a policy, an explicit policy on military occupation. And that was a very interesting one that people weighed in on. It was discussed at the regionals. And within AIUSA, within our section, there was a lot of support for it. And that particular policy was then taken to the International Council meeting, which is the meeting of all of the sections of Amnesty, and was worked on and best and then voted on and actually was passed. So that's a really cool example of a resolution that was developed by a member, an Amnesty member, a member leader, brought to other Amnesty members to discuss and vote on at the regional conferences, then brought to the annual general meeting for more consultation and discussion and voting, and then taken to the international council meeting. And that is now going to be an amnesty policy. There will be a policy worked on and developed as a result of that. I think that the resolution process is something that's so unique to Amnesty and gives everybody an opportunity to participate in that decision-making process. Now, with the, I want to build on something Eleanor asked, just asked about, well, you know, what about having meetings by phone, or what about having other ways of making decisions? The board is taking a look at that in terms of how we can encourage more involvement in our governance processes, and how we can support that. And so that's something we've been looking at over the last year. And it's an interesting one because we now have about 200,000 members. And if you have been to a regional conference, you know that we don't have 200,000 people at our regional conferences or even at our AGM. So there is some discussion about how we might engage more people in the process. But for the coming year at the regionals, you will still see resolutions being brought, working parties discussing them, and resolutions being voted on. So for this coming year, it'll be this fall, you'll see the same kind of governance that we've been doing in the past. I'm going to pause there just to see if there are any questions.
Okay. I'd just like to say that I'll go on record that doing it by computer would make it possible for me to attend, which I couldn't otherwise, and I'm sure that's true of many.
Right. So there's been some discussion about that, and again, as I say, there's still a lot of discussion going on. But some of the things that people have talked about with the regionals and with the getting together face to face, and also with the working parties and the discussing things face-to-face, is that you, as opposed to just weighing in and voting, you're actually getting more of the dialogue back and forth and hearing how other people are thinking things through and what their reasoning is. So one of the things that we have talked about in that trying to engage more people is we really don't want to lose the vitality of the dialogues. So that's just another piece of the question that we've looked at. Now, in terms of other aspects of our governance, I do want to say a little bit about the sort of global amnesty and just to frame it, because no matter what meetings we have of members, whether they're regionals or state or AGM, I would expect the board will be bringing some of these issues for discussion. Amnesty as a whole, big amnesty with all the sections, a couple of years ago came out with a set of standards called the core standards. And they want to have every single amnesty entity, no matter where you are in the world, conforming to best practices, if you will. And we in AIUSA have been working on that. We had different working groups at different times exploring different things. Right now, we've got a working group that's looking at our bylaws, for example, and going through them and seeing if they're, you know, they were written a while ago and then rewritten and then extra pieces put in. So we're kind of looking at them to take a holistic view of them. So there's been for the last, since, well, this is my I'm going into my fifth year on the board. We've been working on governance for at least, you know, all the time I've been on the board, and I think for a little bit before I got on, it was a priority for the board. So there's an ongoing looking at it and seeing how we can make things better.
I have a question.
Sure.
I'm just curious. My name's Laura, and I'm the SD PAC in Washington.
Oh, hi, Laura.
I'm just curious about with a one-day conference, how are we going to fit in plenary session, the working parties, plus all of the other workshops and non-governance things that go on?
I can only speak to how we did it last year with the one day. And rather than having working parties, we had the voting plenary. So I'm talking about the Mid-Atlantic regional. Others could probably speak to other regionals. But I know for us, there was a plenary, and a lot of our discussion back and forth happened in the plenary. And that seemed to work. I actually was kind of impressed the way how smoothly it did work.
Okay. Does Amnesty, do we have a policy on when to have working parties and when not to?
I don't think we're required to have them in the regionals. I'm going to say that because we did not have them last year. So there's always some jockeying about. With the AGM, I think there's a standing rule that we have working parties on a different day than the voting. But I think that's it. And again, any of these kind of processes that we have in place, if we look at them and in discussion with members and with staff, and if board members and staff all say, gee, there's a better way to do things, we're not precluded from making changes to those processes and those procedures that we've used in the past. So I think it's good for us to be looking at this and saying, how can we best make decisions and how can we best engage the maximum number of members and make sure we've got opportunities for everybody to weigh in. I think that those are important discussions for us to have. But for this coming year, it'll probably look very much like the regionals last year.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, Becky, I have another question from Beth Ann. Mm-hmm. The rules for regionals at least used to be that we need working parties if we have more than three resolutions. Is that still the case?
And again, I'm going to defer to other people on the procedures. I would never query Beth Ann or go to the mat on a procedure with Beth Ann. We would have to take a look at that. And again, I would want to hear from NRC what the rules were and what their recommendation was. When I say NRC, and I do want to plug this a little bit. Sorry, I had this as a note. That's the National Resolutions Committee. And if anybody on the call has a resolution that you're interested in bringing, the deadline to get that to the NRC is September the 1st. And it's actually better if you can get it to them a little bit before that deadline. But that is the deadline for resolutions for this year.
Hey, really quickly, this is Suha. I wanted to jump in on that. If anyone does want to submit a resolution, it's posted both on ARC and on the website when you go to the regional conference webpage. The form is there and you have all the information that you need in order to submit a resolution.
Thanks, Suhail.
Yep.
Does anyone else have a question for Becky? Well, Becky, actually, I have a question for you. Is there any thought, what thought has the board given trying to get more student and youth involved in the governance aspect?
I know I personally went and met with the National Resolution, NIAC. I met with NIAC for about 2 hours when they had their retreat to talk a little bit about governance. If there are youth groups that are interested in governance and want to have one of us join a call or come to a meeting or chat or email, absolutely reach out. I'm happy to chat governance with people anytime. I know Hillary's on the call and we consider ourselves, I know Donnie is as well, and we consider ourselves kind of the governance geeks. But we're always happy to have new governance geeks join the group. So if you are interested or if you want to hear more about how we how we're set up. You know, I could talk for much longer about our obligations under New York State law, our bylaws, our structures, the things we've got set up. Absolutely happy to chat about that with people at any time.
Hey, Becky, it's Ashka. I just wanted to jump in on Ed's question. We are actually discussing having a workshop at the regional conferences geared to youth and encouraging them to be engaged in governance. We're having some brainstorming sessions with some of our youth leaders and some of our staff, our youth staff and other staff members and board members, if anyone wants to join, about how we can get young people more engaged in our governance process and what would draw young people to this workshop that basically helps them understand how to run not just Amnesty, but a nonprofit in general. So Ed, if you want to chat with me about that at any point, I'm happy to talk to you about it as well.
Excellent, Ashka, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted it shared on the call. Thanks.
That's great. Thanks, Ashka. That's great news.
Any other questions, final questions for Becky? Nothing about governance? Boy, I think some of the people on this call, I thought you'd have a lot of questions. Okay. All right. So shall we move on to Cynthia? Cynthia, help us out here. Come on.
Hey, everyone. Good evening. So I will run through the agenda for what it's going to look like. And it's definitely going to be a packed day, and we're going to make it a great day. So just to also let you know, there is a small group of members from within the host states that we've invited to join the Grassroots Host Committee, formerly known as the Regional Conferences Planning Committee. And we also have members of the ACSC, the Area Coordinator Steering Committee, a member of the National Youth Activist Committee, and the National Resolutions Committee. So those are three members that are also invited in on the Grassroots Host Committee. And then in addition, we just have a variety of folks from the host city and the host state. So I'm happy to say that this week, two of the region's Grassroots Host Committees have already met and planning's underway. So when it comes to the day, what it's gonna look like is we do have a packed day. It's gonna start at 9 o'clock. And the conference will wrap up at 6:30 p.m. 9 o'clock, we're going to start with an opening plenary, a welcoming, and a real welcoming to Amnesty and Amnesty to display how Amnesty works. And then we're going to break into one-hour sessions that will have the student group caucus, the local group caucus. And then for folks who do not identify with either local group or student group, and also for new folks that we hope to bring into the conference, we will have a workshop that is called Deconstructing Amnesty. It's an Amnesty 101, and we will be facilitating that. So those are three sessions that will happen concurrently. And then we will go into the panel. The panel is a priority campaign panel, and it will differ per a region which panel is going to be the panel. So the priority campaigns for AIUSA are the I Welcome, which is the Refugee Rights Campaign. And then the second priority campaign is the Human Rights Defenders Campaign. So we're still working out the logistics of the program and which panel will be at which conference. And then we go into lunch. And lunch will be an hour. There's a brown bag lunch. With the registration comes lunch. And during that lunch, we will open up to an activist recognition, and we will have some programming during that hour. And then we will break and we will have workshops. We have one set of workshops, and those workshops vary from 5 to 7 workshops per conference. And those are 90-minute workshops. We are in the process of also building out what workshops will be featured. There was, this is in a process that involves a request for proposals that comes both from our membership as well as from staff. And then we compile all that, and then we will have the Grassroots Host Committee, work to build the agenda that fits the region. And then after workshops, we go into a 75-minute governance session. Then we will have a small break. And then we go into what is scheduled to be an hour and a half of governance. After governance, we will wrap the conference up with a closing. And there will be a closing action, which I'm sure will be determined by region, but several of the regions are going to have a candlelight vigil of the reading of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So that is the day, the full day conference. There is also plans, I cannot commit to anything right now, but there are plans to possibly host a Friday night social. Just knowing that there are people that do arrive the evening before, and we're looking to work with the host city local group, student groups to host that. And most likely we will have a Right for Rights / social. So that is the Friday evening program. And that's optional. So that is the one-day conference. And what we will also be building out this year is the Activist Alley, Action Alley, which is really an interactive space where we invite people to submit ideas for action. We invite local and student groups to submit and feature actions that they may be working on. Love to have local groups and groups that have case commitments to feature the cases that they're working on. But this is definitely a space where we find a lot of people tend to migrate to socialize, to take action and get ideas for action that they can take back to their own communities. And that will be Action Alley. And that request for proposals will go out in about a few weeks, and Suhail can correct me on that date. But that will be, all members will be alerted to when that does happen. But we invite people to submit ideas as well.
Yeah, actually, so Action Alley applications are live currently on all regional conference web pages. So folks can go ahead and submit, and they will, Action Alley applications will close. I think they're set to close 3 weeks prior to each conference, but the deadlines and everything are all on the web page.
Thanks, Suhail.
Absolutely.
Any questions?
Questions for Cynthia? No questions about the order of the days?
Hello, this is Carol Pearson in New Mexico.
Hi, Carol.
Hello. I'm wondering, for those of us, if we can all many hours, many miles, it's dear. Many of us would have no way we can leave and get on a plane or a train and get home at 6:30 at night. So I wonder if there's any proposals for actions for the Friday night idea to be carried over to the Saturday night. Have some sort of serious work done on Saturday night.
Yeah, I can address that question.
Good.
Hi, this is Hillary speaking for the Membership Empowerment Training Group. Okay, we have an idea in the works right now to offer a day of training on the Sunday after the Saturday conference in the West and the South. Because those are two of the three biggest regions where traveling is going to be a challenge. Not the Midwest, because that was just the location was not available on the Sunday in the Midwest. So we're looking at the South and the West as having a day of workshops, short day of workshops on the Sunday, say something like 9 to 3 or 9 to 2, nothing's cast in stone yet or even drafted yet, but in fact we'll be talking about it more later this evening with Cynthia, but that's definitely in the works.
This is Carol again. I had got wind of that, Hillary, and found it interesting, but I hope that you solidify it quickly, because we need to, if anybody's going to go, we need to commit now, very quickly.
Carol, we have heard that too, rumor running around that you thought that, and we will like to get it solidified within, I hope, the next week or two.
Good, thank you.
Do we have other questions for Cynthia?
Yeah, this is David Rendell. I've got a question.
Great, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't come in until like 20, 25 minutes after the call started. In light of recent developments in this country, especially after Charlottesville last weekend, is there going to be any change in focus or a re-energized focus as far as domestic issues are concerned?
Hi, David. Thank you for that. I'm actually just taking a note right now. Sorry, I'm just writing something down.
Okay.
The only, response I could possibly give you right now is there possibly could be, as far as the program itself, it is very tight, as you can tell by what I just laid out. It's an 8-hour day. We have 3 hours dedicated to governance, 1 hour to lunch, so we have 4 hours of programming. There is a possibility to propose something for a workshop, but better yet, I also think there's something that can be done in Action Alley.
Yeah.
Which is something that does carry out throughout the whole day. So I think that's where we'd maximize people. So I'm just taking a note, David, and I want to thank you for bringing that up. That's a really important point.
Okay. I'm still in your state, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited.
Hey, Cynthia. Hillary had a question. Hillary, you're going to have to ask it because I don't understand what you wrote here. Why didn't Cynthia mention DOT? Don't we already have 105 domestic focus? Did anybody hear me there?
She's on mute.
Oh, sorry.
that was just referring back to the day of training we already talked about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mention it because I'm not absolutely sure where it's going to happen yet. So I'm glad you mentioned it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand what DOT meant. I thought it was dump our Trump, but it's day of training, right? I couldn't resist that. Sorry.
Humor always appreciated. Okay, Cynthia, do you have more there?
No, I think that's it. And, please feel free to reach out to me with any questions. Thanks.
Yeah, again, I have a question sound like I'm repeating myself, but are there any kind of special plans, to, I guess, again, engage youth in the conferences and get them to attend?
Absolutely. One thing that is happening this fall is we have relaunched a youth and student program. And I think that is going to be a very important infrastructure to rebuild in the organization. And one of the areas that we are promoting in is the idea of youth governance, is youth participation in governance, making it really clear to youth that as an official registered student group that you have one vote, the same with local groups, trying to engage young people in the idea of what it means to plenary, and also to educate people on the Robert's Rules of Order. And then as far as outreach and recruitment, we are definitely going to do some targeted work in the host cities, not just for youth, but for everyone to come to the conference. I would say that these conferences were definitely, there was a strategic focus on where we would have the conferences as well. And we're excited to see, to make those connections.
That's terrific. Any more questions for Cynthia? Anything to add? Comments about the plan? David, you're waving. Something to say?
You're on mute, David.
I'm sorry, I was waving to somebody else, not generally.
I thought you were waving at us. Okay, thanks.
Okay, I'm waving everybody now. Hi, everybody.
Everybody wave at Dave. Okay.
Hi, I'm just channeling a question from Beth Ann here about, we'd like to hear from people like Carol and Bob and others, what the latest time on Sunday should we go to if we have this day of training, when we have this day of training, that would allow people to get home in reasonable time. I mean, would 3 o'clock be okay? Are we assuming that people are at least 3 hours away, but not too much more than that? If people take a flight out, if it finishes at 3, can they take a flight out at 4 or 5 and get home in reasonable time? So, you know, people can contact us, the working group at metpwg@aivol.org. with their answers.
I was just gonna, this is Suhail again. You know, just on my work from AGM on previous years and on regional conferences, I think that the folks typically start to fizzle out around 2 or 3 p.m. because folks will be flying out or they start to go back home. So just wanted to add that tidbit on some of the trends that I've seen in the last few years.
Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, somebody.
This is Becky. Just one other thing to add, and I want to thank one of my board colleagues for mentioning this in an email to me. There is information on the ARC on governance as well for people who do want to do more kind of reading about governance. That said, again, you know, if you find it more fun to have conversation, let me know. But I do want to point out that there is a section on the ARC that contains a lot of governance and also a lot of stuff from the board. The, you know, our minutes for our meetings and all kinds of things are posted on the ARC. So I would just encourage people who are interested in using that resource as well.
Great, Becky. Thanks for sharing that. I think that's really important, and it's a good resource for anyone who would like to look into that. Thanks a lot.
This is Carol again from New Mexico. Realizing that it's going to be very challenging for people to get to Phoenix, especially from the Northwest and from the states in which Amnesty has no or very, very little participation. I'm thinking particularly of Colorado, which used to be a dynamic state and has nothing now, almost no local groups and no student groups, perhaps one. Is there any push from our staff and from our volunteers to contact people in those states?
I can speak to that. Thank you, Carol. There's definitely going to be a focus on developing Colorado. And, you know, this is not to say that we will not continue to do the work that we do in field, which is, you know, to support organizing and activism initiatives. But also one of our goals is to really bring together member leaders and bring together member leaders as a team with other member leaders in the state. And Colorado is definitely, you know, we have some new member leaders in that state, which is really nice to see. And with all that said, it's definitely in our plans to also continue to carry on and host state meetings when we have the initiative with members in those states to do so. And those state meetings really provide a wonderful opportunity to gather state leadership, but also groups, individuals, bring in new folks. So there is definitely that intent will happen throughout the year. We recognize that having a one-day conference is not optimal for many people. We also recognize that we need to really meet people where they are, and state meetings tend to be able to do that.
Could I carry on and beg you, Cynthia, and all you hard workers on the staff, to let us volunteer ACs know what, when you say you're in touch with people, say in Colorado, it would really help if we knew who those people are so that we can be friendly to them too. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm putting this on my notes about connecting groups across states.
Good. Thank you.
That's a great idea.
This is Becky. I have another governance note. I want to thank Ilgu and Donnie for sending me emails on additional governance points. I do want to flag that the National Resolutions Committee, which is the group that helped pull together all the resolutions, they have two vacancies right now for a two-year term. We're looking for regional representatives from the Mid-Atlantic and from the South. So I just want to flag that with everybody on the call. That's a great way to get involved in Amnesty's governance. And then Johnny was also noting that we have an opening on the Planning and Priorities Subcommittee. So again, there are ways to get involved with the governance functions and the committees that, you know, we're always looking for youth candidates for those positions as well. And we've had some really strong members who are some of our youth leaders who have been involved with National Resolutions Committee and nominating committees. So those are some good opportunities for people to get involved.
Great. Thanks, Becky. Before we go off, I have a backlog of Beth Ann questions here. So I'm going to bring some of them up. Becky, let's say this one, is the board submitting any resolutions?
It's a good question. I'm not positive whether we are or we aren't. But I think we maybe, there's nothing we've written up so far, but I know there's been some things we've been discussing that we would need to bring. So I can't tell you for sure, but I would think we probably may. Again, sorry about that. We have nothing written right now.
Okay, great. Thanks. Now, the second part, I think this will go to Sue Hale. What all does the host committee do? Over what portions of the conference do they have a control or a say? Are they responsible for any particular pieces?
That's actually a Cynthia question.
Cynthia.
Yeah, so the host committee, they really help with, you know, we brainstorm with them on ideas for an opening plenary. They also will help to vote on, you know, unfortunately we have more submissions for workshops than we have workshop space. So they will help us to determine to vote on the workshops. They also help to do outreach in advance, hosting the Friday night social. And then on top of everything, it's really day of, and it's all hands on deck, day of volunteer. They help with run of show, making the program happen. It's actually quite a fun group to join.
This is Carol again with a quick question. I just heard that there had been more submissions for workshops. I, as an AC, had heard nothing, perhaps I'm bad at looking at the website, for submitting ideas for workshops. Has a deadline passed for those ideas?
Okay, this is Suhail. I'll jump in. The deadline has passed. And Cynthia might have a little bit more information on exactly when the deadline was. I feel like it was about two, three weeks ago. Earlier this summer, we did send an email out to all member leaders, and that's in any member leader category, to let folks know, one, that regional conferences were coming and they were around the corner, but also that that the RFP process was open. And that also the RFP process has been on our website since the earlier part of June. But you know, if you didn't receive that email, I think it's really important for us to know, so that we know that we want to make sure that we're sending things to the right folks and the right emails.
Thank you. I just missed it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, being Beth Ann's mouthpiece this evening, is there anything planned for educators or advisors?
Well, I'll take a stab at that. So that is still to be determined. Again, it's just about the number of workshop spaces that we have, and given that we have a number of submissions at the moment, so it's still not determined.
Okay, great. Are there any final questions, closing comments?
Hi, this is Hillary. I just sent this to you, Ed. But my question was that it sounds like there's a lot of submissions for panels and workshops and whatnot for the conferences. And Carol is saying she would like to know more about that. And I think it would be really helpful if all the workshop proposals, all the session proposals could be shared with the member leaders. So all member leaders, so that people know what their range of interest is, what the different focuses are that people have, even if those are many, maybe two-thirds are not accepted to the regional conferences, if everyone knows that interest exists and that people exist who have a background and knowledge about certain topics, that will build the possibility for collaboration across member leaders, say for when state meetings come around, that there'll be something that is already existing that people can reach out to each other about. So could not all these proposals be shared?
Hear, hear.
Well, I can't fully address that, but I can say that there is a process that we also have to get the workshops vetted. To make sure that they fall along the lines of policy. And that's something that is time consuming. It goes to Vienna Colucci. And then we also have to, you know, some of the submissions that do come in, given that we have very limited space, we also try to make sure that they're in line with the program, even the priority campaign, but also the programmatic work. And then of course, we wanna make sure that we build in skill building.
Right. Well, those are criteria for accepting sessions, right? I'm talking about all proposed sessions, whether accepted or not.
Hey, I can jump in on that a little bit, being that I've been working around RFP processes in the past. I think that it's something that could potentially be explored. Probably not something this time around. Also, because if we're going to share folks' information, we want to let them know upfront that information would be shared, which is not something that we did this time around. I think that it's a good note. I think sharing is important, and I think that's something that Cynthia and I can continue to discuss and maybe move towards something that's similar to that in the future. And I'm happy to hear more feedback on that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hillary. Any other final closing comments, questions?
Yeah, David, I've got a question here. I don't know if the regional meetings would be the right venue to discuss this, but I know we recently, I guess 5 or 6 weeks ago, had the training of trainers for human rights observation. And I guess with that, there is a potential that if an amnesty group is protesting at any given venue, and there are Amnesty human rights observers there would that not present a conflict? And I think that is something we might want to suggest to discuss at a regional meeting. Not necessarily here at this moment. Is that clear what I'm trying to put across there? Silence here.
I'm sorry, David. I have just a cough. Can you please repeat your question?
Yes. The question is, you recently, I guess 5 or 6 weeks ago in New York City, there was the training of trainers for human rights observers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if there was a protest going on at which Amnesty was a participant, and we also had human rights observers at that same venue in a neutral position, would that not present some kind of conflict of interest, if you will? And how do we deal with that? I mean, you'd have the Amnesty protesters, but then you'd have the Amnesty, you'd have the neutral Amnesty people watching everybody that's there. It seems like there's a bit of a paradox going on.
I can take a little bit of that on as a former observer for Amnesty. So typically, if we know that we're going to be sending observers out on the ground to monitor a protest, it's not a protest that Amnesty sponsors as far as membership. Now, sometimes our members do go to the protests, right? And that's perfectly okay. But we're very clear on the protests that we will and the rallies that we do sponsor and that we won't. That then eliminates that conflict of interest.
So Ashka,
yeah, you can speak more on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So Suhail is absolutely right. That's exactly true. In addition to that, when we do the criteria for whether we're going to send observers or not, that's another piece of the puzzle that we add to the entire picture when we're trying to decide whether or not to send observers. We try to decide whether it'd be a better benefit for Amnesty to be participants of a protest or whether we can provide a better service by being observers. So we do think about it ahead of time and we do talk about it.
Okay, so there is a potential if there was a group somewhere in the boonies, as Carol would say, there is a potential for them being discouraged from actually attending a protest.
We would never discourage anyone from attending a protest. Okay. You have a right to protest, absolutely. We would just not go in as sponsors of the protests, and we would not go in as Amnesty, if that makes sense. Like, you can personally attend any protest you would like, but we would just not sponsor that protest as Amnesty if we are observing it.
Okay. All right. I think I get it.
Okay. I'm happy to answer any other questions offline if you want to chat with me about it.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Was that anything? All right. So, okay, we're reaching the end here. I do want to thank everybody, and thank each of our informed speakers this evening for sharing their knowledge and about the regional conferences. They are Suhail Santana, Becky Farrar, and Cynthia Gabriel Walsh. Thanks also to all of you who called in. A lot of you have been a part of these conferences for many years, and thank you for sharing your questions and comments. And thank you, Eleanor, for calling back. Glad to see you back here. And I hope all of you found the information helpful and informative. We hope to see many of you at the conferences. You may check the email that you received. The invitation for this has a link to the registration and for the conferences on the website. And remember, too, that the monthly calls are recorded and will eventually be listed in the activist resource community on our website. So please do join us again next month. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.